Violet Brown driving.
Now, it's time to talk Celtics.
Celtics come roaring out of the gate.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show with Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The game on lock for sure.
Final buzzer will go. Twice the Celtics got within two in the fourth quarter, but a 13-3 closing run for the Brooklyn Nets. A 40-point game for Kyrie Irving. And for the moment, the Nets move to within a tie with the Sixers for the lead in the Eastern Conference. And the Celtics drop back to a game over 500. The final score, Brooklyn 121, Boston 109.
When Kyrie gets going like that, I mean, we've all seen that. He's really special, and Harden's super special in isolation and one-on-one. And so you have to pick your poison a little bit. You know, credit all those different guys that made big shots for them. That's a big reason why I think they're so unique, because, you know, they're one of the better shooting teams that's ever been assembled.
Brad Stevens, after the loss to the Brooklyn Nets on Thursday night, Sports Hub Celtics show. Just a shorty today with yours truly, Big Jim Murray, Chris Gasper, Brian Robb of Mass Live, and you if you want to join us, 617-779-0985. There was a lot of meat on the bone with this game, Chris, and you know, like, as we enjoy here, the content of Cam Newton coming back with Patriots. Hate the signing, like the news. I just wish it could have been pushed off to like Monday, because I wanted to talk about this game all day yesterday on Felger and Maz, because you're not close. The Celtics aren't close, and you give up 121 points to the Nets without Kevin Durant, without, you know, Blake Griffin. He hasn't been added to the team yet. You know, he's signed there, and I know he's not what he used to be, but still, it's also a night where James Harden clearly still had his head or body or both still in Atlanta, because I thought he was awful. You know, he was still feeling the effects of the All-Star weekend. That was clear. He sucked offensively in this game. You give up 40 to Kyrie, and even though I am no fan of Kyrie Irving, just like, you know, with all the off-the-court stuff, he is still
He's spellbinding to watch.
The handle is as good as you're ever going to see in your entire life. He's a joy to watch when he's on. And if you couldn't find the funny in that night and that performance and some of those last two or three threes that he hit that were absolute FU daggers, like, I don't want to know you, because it was kind of funny. I get that you guys despise him. He was a problem here and all that. You don't like, you know, I certainly don't like that he saged the garden to get rid of the negative spirits. Like, he's an a-hole. But boy, is he talented. And just that he did it to this team, and of course he did, like, that is kind of funny.
So who do you think, when he was hitting those, like, forget you threes, who do you think that was about? Do you think that was aimed at Brad?
I think it's two people, because if you look at who he dapped up and hugged after the game, there were two noticeable people that weren't part of that. And one was Brad Stevens, and the other was Jaylen Brown. And I think that that's about those two, I do.
So I didn't notice that. So because he said something afterwards about, you know, he basically blabbed the media again.
Oh, we'll get to that.
There.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, but he didn't dap up Jaylen?
No, Jaylen Brown was not part of that. Nope.
Really? Yep. I missed that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
And you got to remember, when he was still here, it kind of, and I think that the thing with Brown, there was, you know, we always tried to figure out what's this about? Why did he say there has to be some veteran leadership here, even when Al Horford was here? He said after a loss, something along the lines of, the young guys need to learn how to be a championship caliber team.
Yeah.
Well, he's boys with Tatum. We know that they text
each
other.
Yeah, they still, like, chill
the Dookie thing.
Yeah.
It's Jaylen Brown. Like, those two have a thing.
Well, here's the thing, and I'm going to defend Jaylen on this. Kyrie fancies himself a pseudo
intellectual. Yeah.
And Jaylen Brown is actually intellectual from his time at Cal.
Yep.
And he looks into issues. So it's like Jaylen Brown is like the guy that's going to shout Kyrie down and be like, actually, that's not true. And Kyrie always thinks he's the smartest guy in the room. But with Jaylen Brown, he's not. And Jaylen Brown's not going to back down from him. Like, you know, like, again, I've said this before, and I don't mean as a negative on Tatum, but I think Tatum's a really nice, you know, kid. But I also think he's a little bit of an empty vessel.
I think, like, he's kind of a follower.
He's a follower, like whoever he's with. Whereas Brown's not that way. And Brown legitimately would be like, oh, Kyrie, you think the best thing to do for social justice is for us to, like, shut down the league and not go to the bubble? Yeah, you're a moron.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Let's put it another way. Jaylen Brown reads books. Kyrie Irving reads Reddit. Like,
That's really good.
That's what those two dudes are. And so, yeah, I think that performance is about two people. That there was a rift between he and Brad Stevens, and there was a rift between he and Jaylen Brown.
Well, Brad did put out the "What does government mean to you?" thing.
Yep. Yeah. So, in which I'm sure he took as a slight and that whole thing. But more than anything else, just from a basketball standpoint, Chris, again, like, when you look at the night that Harden had, and he had some good defensive plays, But boy, did you see that three he chucked up that hit the top of the backboard? Like, he just looked like a mess offensively, and he looked like bad James Harden, which you would see at times in Houston. So yeah, his head's still in the All-Star game. But just from a talent standpoint, when you have Shamet hitting close to when he would,
I
he
love Shamet. I've always wanted him on the Celtics. Like, I love that guy.
He'd you're not close
exactly
to that team.
What they need off the bench.
You're not close.
You're not. And here's the thing: I was looking at this last night. You know, they're fifth right now, the Celtics, in the Eastern Conference standings, and the gap between Miami's four, the gap between four and the top three is 3.5 games. The gap between 5 and like 11 at this point is 4 games. So the Celtics are really more on the bottom half of that deal. That gap between, you know, 5 and like 11, you know, they're really more like that. Oh, I'm sorry. I gave that to you wrong. Actually, the gap between 4 and 11 is only 3 games. So that's sort of my point there. It's such a narrow gap. They're just bunched in with like Miami, the Knicks, Charlotte, the Hawks, Toronto. They're not a contender, and Danny said that on this station.
So we get that, and they're not a championship team, but should they still be looking to add right now? I know that we have some strong commentary from our own Brian Robb of Mass Live. We'll get into the comments made by Danny Ainge as well, B-Rob. He essentially blood you on Toucher and Rich this week, saying, yeah, no, the TPE, no. I'm going to wait until the offseason, where you have written and have been adamant for weeks now, do something.
Yeah, it's you can keep the TPE and still do something. Like, there's multiple TPEs here. There's multiple players on this team. I think it's fair to say there's a little bit of a glut on the roster. I think you have a little redundancy at a few spots on the roster. So adding to this team for the present, if the present is a priority, I think is still a very viable option, even if you want to keep your, you know, bigger name options on the table for the offseason with the full TPE.
Can I ask you a question, B-Rob, just quickly? Is maybe a guy like Robert Williams, who's played really well of late, is he kind of like the new Terry Rozier, where, look, maybe in the big picture, Danny should move on from him, but he just can't bring himself to do it? And I say move on from him, it's because he has trade value and you can remake part of the roster, but Danny just can't bring himself to move on from that guy?
I know internally they're very, very high in Rob Williams, and it's easy to see why when he gets the additional opportunity here. So I understand that, because that's something where he's up for an extension after this offseason, so you could potentially lock him in to be your starting center of the future with this young core. So yeah, like, I can see holding on to that, but you have a lot of young draft picks on this roster right now, even beyond Rob Williams. And so all those guys are not going to be able to be here, or at least be able to contribute to your team long term. So maybe it's time to look at consolidating a couple of those for some upgrades for the present.
Yeah, most importantly, I think you have to do something, because we're living in the day of player appeasement in the NBA. And even though I think deep down that those two, your two All-Stars and Brown and Tatum, no, we're not a championship caliber team this year. You got to add something, because if you don't add something, you show them that you don't care. And then those two start thinking about greener pastures if they haven't already. But this, if you don't do something, I think would exacerbate that feeling. You know, like, I think you just got to do something to show them, like, no, maybe this isn't the year, but we're building towards something still.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, again, I've mentioned the story, the Tim Bontem story. I didn't know this until I read it, but it's been 6 years since Danny made an in-season trade, and the only team that's gone longer is the San Antonio Spurs. And I had the great Steve Bolpet on my podcast this week, the Take 5 podcast with Chris Gasper, and one of the things I asked him based on the Bontem story was sort of this idea: are there GMs who are wary of dealing with Danny? And, you know, Steve said, yeah, there are some GMs who are wary of dealing with him. Not that they won't, but, you know, they're wary about it. They want to go into it with eyes open and make sure that they're not getting the short end of the stick. And I wonder if that works against Danny here.
All right, you want to join us? We have one segment to go here in the Sports Hub Celtics show. I want to get into, quickly as we come back, Jaylen Brown's performance in this game. And while I would side with him from a personality standpoint between him and Kyrie, I thought his performance in this game on Thursday night, post-All-Star break, unacceptable. So we'll get to that coming up next year. Sports Hub Celtics show, Jim Murray, Chris Gasper, Brian Robin, you, if you want to join us, 617-779-0985.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show.
This is Jaylen Brown, and home of the Boston Celtics basketball, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Chris Gasper, Jim Murray. The Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Kyrie, we see you after the game hugging all your former teammates. But
big surprise, huh? To a lot of people.
Well, honestly,
all that shit talking about me and all the relationships I have with every teammate of mine. I'm glad we get to see it every single game that I got some great people out here.
But honestly, it looked like it was a special game for you, and you simply weren't going to let the Nets lose. Does this one mean a little more to you when you're going against guys you know that well?
I know a lot of people in the league well. I mean, it's my former team, obviously. I think I let kind of the casual NBA fans talk about it, what it could mean in terms of special night. I'm just waiting for, you know, the main stage going on and playing in front of, you know, millions of people and it actually mattering in terms of win or lose and win or lose or go home. So I'm looking forward to that, but games like this in the middle of the season where you go against guys that you've known well, and you know, it's always a blessing. I'm always happy for those guys, and you know, I want to see them do well. And when we're playing against each other, we're just going to leave it out there on the floor, and that's just where it stands. We have that respect, but of course our relationships go way further off the floor.
He just can't help himself. He's just so insufferable.
And again, like, he speaks in Mad Libs, Jim. It's so aggravating.
Big surprise, huh? Again, the sports fan in me can appreciate the beauty of how Kyrie Irving plays in a game like Thursday nights. His handle is better than anyone's I've ever seen. He's ridiculous and a joy to watch when he goes off like he did. Again, if you can't see the funny in what he did to the Celtics Thursday night, I don't want to know you. But off the floor. Oh, my God. It just makes it so hard, Chris. It's like, you know, there's some, what is this? Is it sadists? Those that want to have the inflict the pain on them? Like, there is almost something to that. Like, need I remind you people that, like, always, because again, they're like, you, why do you hate Kyrie? Look, do I have to remind you? What does government mean to you? F Thanksgiving, getting mad for.
He said that to poor Abby.
Yeah, getting mad for getting caught for the two max contracts down at the All-Star game. Like, he got mad. You didn't see that. Again, like, gaslighting. Like, no, we saw you. Two max contracts right in the face of Kevin Durant.
He was like Obi-Wan. He's like, these are not the superstars you're looking
for.
Like,
saging the garden to eliminate the negative energy. When guess what? The negative energy was you. Tried to get Steve Nash fired before he even played a game for him this year. Like, that's just some of the things that immediately come to mind. Like, the guy's an a-hole. So stop with that. But that being said, I do think that a lot of that performance Thursday night had to do with him, from a basketball standpoint, saying F you to Brad Stevens and to Jaylen Brown. And the Celtics fan in me would like to say F you to Jaylen Brown for playing in that All-Star game, Chris, because 5 for 23 on this game on Thursday night, 5 for 23.
Yep.
It's an unacceptable performance is what that was, because he looked fine to me Sunday in Atlanta in the little bit that I saw.
Yeah, he was good. So, yeah, doing the three-point contest and then that. Yeah, so you know I'm a Jaylen Brown stan, but I didn't. It's so hard because it was his first All-Star game. It's in his hometown. I thought he could have sat out the three-point contest. And then, look, if you have a lingering knee issue that is causing you to miss games.
And you play 26 minutes?
Yeah.
You want to play
the
six?
Minutes were too much.
You want to play six? Fine. But that's, I'm sorry, to come back, and I'm a believer, and, you know, if you want to disagree, I'd love to hear it. But, like, I'm a believer that, like, that first game back, you've had a little, you know, even if you played in the All-Star game, the first game back from the All-Star break is kind of a litmus test for what you are going forward in that second half of the season. And I get that Brooklyn's better than you, but for Jaylen Brown to have that performance, again, it's flat-out unacceptable, and I think it's fair to question why you played in the damn thing when your knee's been a problem.
It is. Now, the good news for the Celtics is, you know, obviously they played that game, you know, Thursday night, and now they have some time off. You know, you had a couple of days, and you're going to play tomorrow against Houston, so hopefully that allows him to rest up there. But, yeah, I thought he was, you know, too involved sort of in the All-Star festivities, and by that I mean the three. I really didn't understand why he had to do the three-point contest with a bum knee. And too many minutes in the All-Star game. You know, normally I side with these guys on this type of thing, but given what's happened to the Celtics with Kyrie, with Kemba, and this whole deal, I thought Jaylen really should have kept his All-Star game participation to as much of a minimum as he could have. You know, maybe play 10 minutes in the game and that's it.
Going back to why they should add, you know, I said that, you know, that we're living in the time of player appeasement in the NBA. It should show them that you are trying to build towards something, even though we all know deep down it's not a championship caliber team this year. But you see what happened to Joel Embiid last night? It seems like they dodged a bullet. He's going to be out for like 2 to 3 weeks. He didn't tear anything.
Yeah, it's a bone bruise.
But it looked like a bad knee injury, so he'll be out a while. Like, doesn't that show you, too, you got to do something? Like, things can happen. The East is still kind of like, I feel like this one big gelatinous middle. Like, you could, theoretically still maybe come out of the conference.
I mean, you never know. It seems like at this point, I mean, again, I've said this before, and I don't know how much of it is just sort of this is the way it is with the league and what's on the horizon for the Celtics, and how much of it is Danny Ainge doing what he always does, which is, you know, sort of oversell these assets, kick the can down the road and move the goalpost. And, you know, I feel like it's more of the latter at this point, that it's sort of moving the goalpost on the whole Gordon Hayward discussion and not really getting anything for Gordon other than this TPE. It's pretty clear to me at this point that with Hayward out of here, they're not going to get anything in exchange for him this season that's going to help this year's team. I think that's really the message. And the PR spin is to say, well, wait till the offseason and get you all excited about that. And then, you know, the offseason will probably come and go, and like 75% of these things don't get used, and they might not even be able to use it. Well, that's probably what's going to happen.
That's short-sighted. B-Rob, yes.
Yeah, and to your point too, Jim, on that, where are the Nets going the next couple of years? Like, they're probably just going to be adding more and more free agent names to this super team. So this year, the cohesion that they might not have yet, especially with Durant being out so much here, this might be one of your best shots at them, because they're only going to get better, I feel like.
Right. Yeah. And so, again, you know, injuries can happen. I know it's a freak thing, but I don't know how you look at that and say, like, okay, well, maybe we should do something here that Embiid got hurt. And, like, while they've been better under Doc, and Milwaukee, I think, is still better than you, they're flawed. Like, every team outside of Brooklyn, like, you know, who knows? That thing could still implode with those big egos, but I think every team in the East, Chris, is still like very flawed. And if you got your crap together and you maybe added a piece and some bench scoring, you could maybe make a deeper run than people think.
Maybe, but I mean, you're flawed. And
it would, as a human, I know. You don't have to take shots on air, Chris.
If the Celtics are flawed, I mean. And Danny knows that, and he said that. And I think, again, he feels like he has to hit a home run with this TPE, because that's the biggest asset they have left. Like, their whole cash of first round picks, they're just down to their own. They, you know, they don't have a lot of stuff to offer in a trade. We didn't even talk about, you know, Marcus Smart returned.
I was just going to ask you, what do you make of his
I thought he played really well, and it was great to have him back. And prior to that, they'd only had the core four together for two games in 28 minutes. But, you know, what happened to him being the panacea? And I don't know, it looked like he got undressed by Kyrie Irving like everybody else. So I thought that was the entire problem on defense, was not having Smart. And once they got him back, they were going to be like the 1989 Pistons.
Yeah.
I guess not.
I was far more impressed with, you know, and I always take his offensive performances with a grain of salt, because it does, you usually do get to a point of where you have the no Marcus, no, like he's shooting too much. But he was better offensively than he was defensively.
I thought he was good. I mean, first game back, I thought that was more than you really could have hoped for.
Yeah, so, I think the one thing you take away from that game is that the Celtics, unfortunately, are not close to the Brooklyn Nets, and it's on a night where you give up 121 to that team, where, okay, Kyrie has his night and goes off for 40, but you still don't have Durant out there. They haven't added Blake Griffin. And James Harden looked like, again, he had had too many lemon pepper wings and too many lap dances down in Atlanta. Like, you still couldn't be closer.
Well,
you know, you go down there, look, the place is well-known, Chris. It's a party city. I understand why there was such a thirst for so many of those players. We got to have the All-Star game. We have to have it. We have to be down here. We need to be in Atlanta. And so, I get it, but you couldn't even take advantage, couldn't get closer than that, and you couldn't, which means you're not close. And a guy like Shamit, too, like, you just don't have pieces like that in your bench.
You don't. Can I give you some good news as we close the show? Hey, Sacramento's really kind of fallen off at 15-22. They're third from the bottom in the West, and maybe by the time you get to this trade deadline, they are willing to talk about Harrison Barnes, because I think that's a guy that maybe Danny would change his mind on and say, okay, we will use this thing right now because we can get this Harrison Barnes deal done.
Is there anyone else quickly that you could see realistically Danny might want to consider as teams might be going sideways here in the next, you know, as we lead into the trade deadline?
Not off the top of my head. I mean, I have my list of young guys, obviously, like Lonnie Walker, Josh Hart, all those guys. That's sort of what B-Rob was talking about in terms of using the other TPEs.
All right, so we wrap up the show again. Short show today is we wrap thanks to B-Rob behind the scenes. Of course, read his Celtic stuff at Mass Live. Catch Chris, Channel 5. See him Friday again back on Felger and Maz. Talk to you Monday on Felger and Maz. Bruins and Rangers coming up next year on 98.5 of Sports Hub. Judd and Bob have you with the call here on 98.5 Sports. So enjoy the rest of your weekend. Bye.
From the Town Fair Tire Studios, Boston's home for sports is WBZ-FM and HD Boston. 98.5, the Sports Hub, the Beasley Media Group Station.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.